centre and coming in is Loeb. Hillendyke centre net. McDonald scores! Danny McDonald!
And over at that Flame bench, there's all kinds of excitement going on there.
Scores! Roll the highlight reel. 6-0 Flames.
You can't put it in the wind column!
Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby! Yeah, baby!
This is Flames Talk with Pat Steinberg and Aaron Vickers on Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
Hey, happy Monday, and Flames Talk off-season edition is officially underway. It is Monday, April 22nd. Welcome to the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock & Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockAndSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution. It's Steinberg and Aaron Vickers of NHL.com, along with you on Apple, Spotify, Amazon, or wherever you get your podcasts. Hello, Vic.
Hello, Patrick. How are we doing on this giggly Monday?
We are doing very, very well, and lots to get into. Boy, the annual locker cleanout day gives us talking points for weeks, and this year is no different. And yet, as we kick off this hour, we're talking about something that has been a talking point for the prior, like, 5-6 months as well. It's time to go inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. This hockey season, support local, find your all-time classics and locally brewed beers. Visit your local Calgary Co-op wine, spirits, beer today. And watching the first 2 days of the Stanley Cup playoffs over the weekend, boy, I was thinking a lot about Jacob Markstrom. And the reason why is because, boy, Toronto didn't get the greatest of goaltending performances in game one. Ilya Samsonov allowed 4-on-24 in a 5-1 loss. And Alexander Georgiev, my Lord, there were worries about him going in. And he did nothing but elevate those worries after his performance in game one against Winnipeg for Colorado. And instantly in both those cases, I'm thinking, huh, those are spots that have been loosely tied to Jacob Markstrom over the last 4 to 6 months. And game one, now that it's the first game, a lot can happen. Georgiev could turn back into the guy he was in the first half of the season, and all of a sudden this conversation dies down a little bit. But after how Saturday went for the Maple Leafs and Sunday went for the Avalanche, after how Friday went with Jacob at locker cleanout day, yeah, I was thinking a lot about Jacob Markstrom again. I really was, and I know that it is a conversation that we've been having a lot. But I guess here's, because Wes and I talked a little bit about reacting to Jacob and his comments on Friday. Safe to say that non-committal on his future here is the best way to phrase that. Is that a good way of phrasing how Jacob's demeanor was on Friday when he was asked about his future here? Non-committal, and I don't say this in like there's no negative connotation when I say this, but I don't know, somewhat evasive, and not even evasive, just kind of, as Wes put it very well, none of your business was kind of the way I came away from Friday and what we heard from Jacob.
I say this respectfully, but for as much as he said in terms of volume and time, he didn't necessarily say much at all. And everything to me when I was sitting there listening to him was anything he would say sort of left room for interpretation, to the point where he could say something, you can interpret it one way, I could interpret it a completely different way. And for a guy who expressed frustration both after the trade deadline and in locker cleanout about having his name in the media and being talked about, so on and so forth, to me, he didn't do himself any favors in taking his name out of the media.
Agreed.
Which was the most sort of interesting slash puzzling element for me, because it obviously...
But were you surprised by that? Because I never, like...
Well, it would have been very easy for him to just say, I've got 2 years left on my contract, I'm a member of the Calgary Flames, that's how I'm approaching things.
But...
And then that leaves the speculation to, well, would they move? Now it's just water cooler talk. But for everything that he kind of said to me, it was, are you leaving this intentionally open because you're trying to tell us what you're trying to say without saying it? Maybe I'm reading way too much into the tone and how he spoke. But to me, he said a lot of things that were very easily interpreted in one way, whether it's, yeah, you probably seen me in my last game as a member of the Calgary Flames, or there's a certain mystique about what he said where it's like, oh, yeah, when I'm back here in September, I didn't say anything in April that should have suggested otherwise.
I think he hedged. I think he was
That's
very,
a good word.
I think he was very careful with his words, but I think he also remained on brand in the way I see Jacob, and that he's always been really private and guarded when it comes to these types of topics. It's always been part of what goes along with the Jacob Markstrom package, and has been since he's been here. I remember when he signed here in his introductory news conference, didn't want to go into why he chose not to sign back in Vancouver. And that, again, this is not critical in any way, shape, or form. Jacob is 1,000% entitled to handle his private life and what he wants to do and all that type of stuff, however he wants to handle it. But as you said, the speculation was not quelled on Friday at Locker Cleanout.
I think as opposed to quells, he almost, and I have to go back and go sort of line by line and question by question, but if anything, he just fueled more. He poured, you know, gasoline on the fire a little bit in terms of the mystery around what's his future as it pertains to being a member of the Calgary Flames, whether it's 2 months from now, whether it's 4 months from now, whether it's, you know, at the trade deadline next year, so be it. Just from a perspective of, boy, I wish my name wasn't out there. Nothing he added to the conversation, even remotely, in my opinion, moved towards him trying his best to remove his name from further speculation.
Fair. And this is what I said on Friday, and I'll reiterate it because I think it's really interesting, especially now after watching what happened over the weekend in some other games. I said on Friday, and I'll say it again here on this Monday, I feel the exact same way about Jacob Markstrom's future on Monday, April 22nd, as I did on Thursday, April 18th. Nothing has changed for me with how I feel about Jacob Markstrom's future based on what we heard from him and others on Locker Cleanout Day, in that I think it is most likely he gets traded. I felt that last week. I felt that last month. I felt that, you know, 3 months ago. And I still believe that now, that it's most likely that he's going to be elsewhere next year for a few reasons. And the number one reason is related to what happened this weekend. I think that there are going to be teams, and we already saw potential holes in the armor.
Mm-hmm.
And there are going to be multiple teams that go out earlier than they envisioned, due in large part or solely because of goaltending. If Colorado loses to Winnipeg and Georgiev's performance does not improve starkly, yeah, the Avalanche are going to be having a conversation about how an elite hockey team got sewered by poor goaltending. Knock, knock, knock. Hey, how about this Jacob Markstrom guy? Same is going to be true in Toronto, or we'll see how it goes in Carolina or elsewhere. So I know there are some who believe that Jacob's value is actually going to go down this summer compared to where it might have been at the trade deadline. I disagree. I think because there will be more teams involved, his value is going to be higher and the Flames will have a better opportunity of maximizing what they're going to get for him. So that's one. Number two, as I've said many times, I'll just quickly hit these two rapid fire. Jacob wants to win now. He's 34 years old. He's got 2 years left on his contract. And maybe his conversation with Craig Conroy, the GM on Locker Cleanout Day, maybe that did help assuage his fears in terms of what he's feeling about the team and their ability to win going into next year and the year after. I don't know. But Jacob's also a smart guy. I think that he knows that there are probably teams starting next season who have a better chance to compete for a deep run in the playoffs than the Flames do. And number three, this team needs to make room for Dustin Wolf next year. Full stop. They can't go. I don't care if Dustin is waiver exempt next year, which he is. They still need to make sure he's on the NHL roster to start next year. I don't think it makes a lick of sense for them to go into next season with three. So all those things combined, and even more accentuated after what I saw over the weekend and what we heard from him on Friday, yeah, I think Jacob's time in Calgary is, I think writing's on the wall, and he's probably elsewhere before the start of next season.
Those are all very valid points, and if the Colorado Avalanche, for example, because Georgiev stands out to me after watching him Sunday night and texting you a little E5 joke on that front.
You did.
There is going to be an NHL team that had designs of being in the cup final that gets bounced in the first round that can point to subpar goaltending. Now, whether or not that's a Georgiev who maybe doesn't quite have the same expectation to lead a team as an Ottinger or Demko, or you can look at a couple of other teams, Carolina's one, as you mentioned, that go, huh, I wonder how we would have fared if we had better goaltending. Who's the best goaltender that may or may not be available this summer, so that in 365 days time, we're not talking about a first round exit because we didn't have a guy that stopped enough pucks for us. And I also agree in the fact that you do need to make room for Dustin Wolf. He needs to be somewhere around the 35 to 45 game mark next year, in my opinion, and having three goalies does not accomplish that. And whether or not that means moving Markstrom or Vladar, I think one of them needs to be moved in order to create that space for Dustin Wolf. Now, having said that, I'm a big, big fan of having Markstrom mentor Wolf. But at the same time, to your point, Jacob Markstrom is 34. He's got 2 years left. Who knows how long he's going to play at the level that he's currently playing at. And if he wants to go to a winner and there is a deal to be made with said team that brings you back a return that you're happy and comfortable with and, to be honest, over the moon with, and you've got to part ways with Jacob Markstrom and figure out a plan that way, so be it. But just running through the dominoes that you kind of listed, yeah, it does kind of point in the direction of, is Jacob Markstrom a Calgary Flame come September?
You know, and I said that, you know, Jacob's a smart guy. Well, so is Conroy. Craig's a smart guy, too. He's not, he knows what's going on. He's not, he's clearly not naive to the situation and how this year played itself out. And I believe that the Flames are very well aware that Jacob Markstrom is, his strong preference is to win now and be in a spot, if possible, where he can win now. Craig knows what's going on, and I thought he navigated the questions on Friday exactly the way he should have. And I know there's lots reading into the way that he answered certain things and how he discussed what is coming next for Jacob Markstrom. But, you know, I thought that he, of course he's not going to commit and say, yes, Jacob will be here. Well, That paints yourself into a corner the same way he says, no, we are trading Jay. You've got to make sure that you leave it a little up for interpretation. You can't commit one way or the other. This was Craig Conroy in his news conference on Friday.
Time will tell with all that, with everything we're doing. I mean, the one thing we're trying to do is figure out how we move this thing forward to get to a point where we're not sitting here talking to you guys right now. You know, you want it after. You don't want to know when the end date is. You want to know, okay, we lost in game six. We won the Stanley Cup. I mean, those are the things you're trying to achieve here. So you don't want to, you know, it's hard to put today expectations of what's going to happen in a month or a day or a week or, you know, moving forward.
With that, though, Craig, including Dustin Wolf in the conversation, do you anticipate having three goalies come September?
I mean, I guess the day after the last game, it's tough to say. You know, right now, we have three goalies, you know. And talking to Vladdy today, you know, he's excited. His hip's feeling good. And we just have to, you know, that's going to be a work in progress. And that's something I got to deal with moving forward here.
So, yeah, of course, Conroy's going to be very, very, trying to think of the right, if you want to call it non-committal, sure.
Yeah.
He's going to leave. He's not going to say anything definitive because he can't. What, there's nothing definitive about this situation. Yes, I believe in the end Jacob is going to get traded, but there are ifs and conditions that go with it. They're not trading him for a song. They're not trading him for nothing. They're going to try to endeavor to get the best value for probably the best goaltending commodity on the market. And so it's no guarantee they are going to end up moving him. I do think that the attempt is going to be to work together with Jacob, with Pat Morris, the representative, and everybody kind of work in concert to try to get him to a destination and get the Flames a solid return. I think I think that is going to be the way that they go about this, but there's no guarantee that's successful, right? So, of course, if you're Craig Conroy, you know nothing's definitive, so you're not going to sit here and answer the question, yes, Jacob will absolutely be back. I thought that he handled it exactly the way you should as a general manager when asked those two questions. And, you know, the second one about this, good follow-up from Flames Talk fan member Aaron Vickers on will there be Finally. Three goalies next year? I mean, again, you can't fully commit one way or the other because you've got to leave yourself some wiggle room.
Well, and the other element to that, too, is the fact that you've got one of your three goalies coming off of major hip surgery, and you don't know, okay, you did it at a time where you expect him to be back in time for training camp and whatnot, but if there is a delay in that recovery, suddenly you've kind of handcuffed yourself on April 19th, was it? Somewhere right there, April 18th or 19th, whatever the last Friday was. You're not stuck to whatever you say on locker cleanout day, but to make a definitive statement about the moves you will or will not make in the offseason in April. And again, it's just talking to us. You're not bound by contract law if you tell me that, yeah, for sure we're going to not have three goalies. Whatever, you can work around that very easily. Not going to sit here and call Craig Conroy a liar for doing it. But it just doesn't necessarily behoove his situation in any direction, whether it's any transaction, to come out at the end of your season, literally a day after your season officially ends, and say, I'm doing A, I'm doing B, and I'm doing C, and I'm going to get it all done.
That just hurts your negotiating stance, right? It just hurts your leverage. It hurts. So I thought he handled things really well, and he also knows that there might be a chance that Jacob isn't traded by September. The same way I think the goal was to move Hanifin and to move a couple of other guys last summer, things never came together. And
they didn't get the offers.
I think the best they got, they might have gotten one first-round pick offer for Hanifin in the offseason. Maybe. From what I understand, like they were not getting anything for Anvils. Hanifin last summer. It's like, oh yeah, we'll give you a first-round pick, but that's it. No, like you needed to hold out. So if that's the same thing that happens with Markstrom, well, you can't, again, just give a guy away the same way they didn't give guys away a year ago in the summertime. So the Flames were very, Craig Conroy and co. were very comfortable coming into last summer or last training camp with all the uncertainty remember the golf tournament? Feels like yesterday we were there hearing from Lindholm and Hanifin and all these guys about their futures, and the Flames were comfortable going into the season with all those guys unsigned. Now, Jacob's not a pending unrestricted free agent, but yes, it will be a distraction if he comes into training camp this year or has the potential to be, but I think they're comfortable dealing with it if it comes to that case.
Well, and just to add to the element, yes, he's not a pending unrestricted free agent. He has 2 years remaining, but he also has a full no move. So he's in charge of this process as much as Craig Conroy is, because he can dictate where he goes and where he doesn't go. So there is an element of what does Jacob Markstrom want that you have to consider, not just the point of what can the Calgary Flames get for him, or what do the Calgary Flames want to do with their goaltending situation? Their de facto number one has all sorts of leverage in this conversation.
Well, and because they know that this is by no means a guarantee, when Craig sat down with us in the Hot Stove Lounge for that exclusive chat he did with us, yeah, I want to leave the question in place. The question I asked, because it adds a little bit of context. I don't want anything taken out of context here, but I kind of asked about, okay, so what do you do if Jacob is here to start next season?
What's the, I don't know, is it damage control? What's the conversation like with a guy like that, knowing how important he is to your team? Like, I'm just curious what the tact is now when you speak with him in exit interviews. I know you can't reveal specifics, but like, is there some damage control that needs to be done in that respect?
Well, for sure. I mean, no one, you know, like I said, it wasn't just Jacob. It was lots of guys had their names out there. And that's, you know, it wasn't like that when I played as much. You know, it'd be on TV or in the paper. But now with social media, with the internet, with our phones,
yeah,
it's just anybody can put anything out there, and then it can create, it's a life of its own. So, you know, you're trying to... That's what I feel the worst about for our guys. It was a tough year, always being in the media. Even last year during the playoffs, we were out of the playoffs and we were pretty much in the media every day. You know, you'd like to just let the guys get away from it a little bit. But, you know, that is the pressure of playing in a Canadian market also. So, Yeah, you know, you have those conversations and you want to just make sure you clear the air with them and they know where you stand and you know where they stand. And that's kind of what it is. I mean, Jacob's an unbelievable competitor, good person. You know, like I said, he great teammate. There's no issues. I mean, he frustration maybe with what was going on, 100%. That's his thing. I mean, he lost Tanev. I totally understand, you know, where everything's coming from. But, you know, we had a good talk and, you know, I know where he stands and, you know, we'll just move forward.
So that was Craig Conroy with us when he sat down in the Hot Stove Lounge on Friday. I don't think there's any illusions here. I think the Flames are eyes wide open in terms of how this could play out. I think Jacob and his camp are eyes wide open in terms of where this thing goes. There's no subterfuge here. I think that everybody's very clear on the way this thing plays itself out. But again, there's no guarantee that this plays itself out the way that a lot of people just assume it's going to go. And that's why you got to make sure that all your bases are covered and you're ready for all kinds of different outcomes here.
Well, and I'm sure both parties have sat down, not just on Friday, but post-trade deadline onward, sort of clarifying to the 100th degree their intention or their desire, both the Markstrom party and the Craig Conroy Calgary Flames party. So each side knows exactly the desire of the other, where they stand. So I don't think there's going to be any ambiguity on that front or any confusion between the two sides as to what direction both are hoping to take this. And to me, it would just be a matter of execution. It would be a matter of where are you willing to go. It would be a matter of what those teams are willing to offer if, in fact, the trade route is explored this summer.
A few texts, 960, 960. It's funny, these go back to back. I'm just reading these in the order that they came in. First, Marnie from Tuscany says, have you ever thought he's just tired of the media talking about this and maybe he feels like it's his business, not everyone else's right now? I feel all this talk will just make him more angry. Media might make him leave with all this speculation, which is followed immediately. That came in 2 minutes before this one from Curtis in Copperfield, who says, if Markstrom ends up in Toronto this summer, he's going to have to put his big boy pants on. The media there will not be as gentle on him. And honestly, like this whole narrative of the media is going to drive people out of cut. This is one of the easiest media markets to be in, especially in this country. It ain't, as I've said many times, we'll pay attention to the way things are handled. And this is not a criticism, but the way things are handled in Toronto and Montreal, even Vancouver and Edmonton, when it comes to covering their teams, it's far more cutthroat than it is in this market. This is not this is not the world's most difficult media market to be a part of.
Was it James Reimer's mom that got a phone call asking about his injury? Is that what I'm thinking about correctly?
He used to play for the Maple. I don't know, but he used to play for the Maple Leafs, so I could
see
that.
That's just a tip of the cap as to the Toronto market, if you will. Your family members are getting calls to disclose some injury information.
This reads, if Jacob wasn't to some degree interested in going elsewhere, or if he didn't like the noise during the season, he could have stopped it at any time. All he had to say is he's got a no-move clause and he's not waving. That makes all the noise go away. Saying anything else has simply informed what we've all been speculating. If he's not traded this offseason, it'll be 100% because Conroy didn't get the value he wants. It will not in any way be because Markie wants to stay. This reads, kind of ridiculous. Markstrom complains about media talking about him. It's pro sports. Everyone gets talked about, especially in a retool or rebuild. This says, he's a pro athlete. Media comes with the territory. If he didn't want to be talked about by the media, he shouldn't have been a professional hockey player. That's just a few of the, and to some extent, I do think that media speculation goes with the territory of being a multimillionaire pro athlete. I do. I think that there are limits to it. I think if we start calling Jacob Markstrom's fiance or wife and his mom and like doing it that way, no, that's completely off limits and that's offside. But for us to be speculating about his future and asking him about his future, not out of bounds, not offside. Player movement, speculation about players' futures. These humans are making top 1% or less salary on the planet. These are multimillionaires, and that type of compensation comes with it. Scrutiny, speculation, talk radio shows, podcasts, and gossip call, all of it. It goes with the territory. It does, and any pro athlete would agree with that statement. up to an extent of when it becomes unfair, when it becomes out of bounds, and you bring family members in and personal lives in and stuff like that, it's a different story. But what we're talking about, we're nowhere close to crossing any lines.
It was poor Marlene Reimer in 2011.
Ugh. Is that the mom?
Yes.
Like, that is off limits. Family members, off limits. Significant others, children, 1,000% off limits, offside. We're talking about whether or not Jacob's going to get traded this summer, that's not. So look inside hockey for Calgary Co-op. Let's go local Calgary. From best from the West, Canadian produce to quality only Alberta meats. Find your local at Calgary Co-op. Shop online or in store today.
Flames Talk is live on Calgary's hockey station, Sportsnet 960 The Fan.
All right, it is time for the future of the Flames, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how an idea originating in Calgary inspired hope for many, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. It's Pat Steinberg along with you on this Monday edition of Flames Talk, and welcome to the 2024 Calder Cup playoffs for the Calgary Wranglers. They start Wednesday night in a best-of-three first-round series against the Tucson Roadrunners in Tucson, Arizona. And let's get you set for the Wranglers and their 2024 postseason. It's a Monday, which means we say hello to the head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. Trent Call joins us now before the Wranglers hit the road for Arizona. And Trent, appreciate the time as always. I would imagine, you know, you've got 72 games under your belt. You've had a up and down, all kinds of craziness and roster shuffles throughout the season, and now you're here. Just how exciting is it to finally be at the playoffs? Just curious what the excitement level is and anticipation level is for finally getting to game one.
Oh, I think it's a great time. I mean, especially as a player, I mean, you work all year to give yourself a chance, right? And we've given ourselves a chance through, you know, as you said before, it's been the most adversity I've seen for sure as a head coach in this league, you know, with what these guys had to deal with. So with player change, which is great too. So, but you know what, it's been great. We're excited to be in playoffs. Wish it was at home, unfortunately, but besides that, everything else is great.
You mentioned that adversity though. I wonder how that might be able to help you now that you get to the postseason, and adversity is just kind of what goes along with going deep in a postseason, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, jeepers, I think it was awesome. Had a moment to catch some breath there yesterday, and we're still waiting to see what happened with the Colorado Ontario game. I was right down to the wire. So, I was watching Winnipeg and the Colorado Avalanche play, and I was like, oh my God, like what a game this is. And, you know, here they are, down 3 goals in the third period around the 14-minute mark, you know, and all of a sudden it ends up being 7-6, and it's a one-goal game with 27 seconds left on the clock. So it is amazing. Just as a reminder, anything can happen, and you got to be able to deal with that adversity, as you said, and hopefully that we've been through enough of it that it can work in our favor.
You go on a best of, it's a best of three, and all three games will be played in Tucson's building. Just tell us a little bit about the challenges of that and kind of what goes into a series like this and how difficult a series like this can be.
Well, I guess, so first part is we have to travel, right? So we got to get in there. So that's, they finished out, I think 13 points ahead of us, probably 8 more wins. So they've, that's what they get. That's what they deserve by finishing second overall, right? So so we got to get ourselves over there, get down there. And then it's preparation. I think it's just more for us right now as coaches. You know, I've been mad scrambling. I've had video coach Danny doing some work for the last 2 weeks on potential opponents. You know, we've had the same opponents for the last 4 games, so it made it easier for us. And so now it's just balancing, you know, preparation for a group. But I also want to make sure that we're ready to go. And, you know, we've had 72 games to get ourselves prepared for this. So it's almost like you're a proud papa, you know what I mean? Like you're pushing all your chips in, and you're like, you know what, we've worked with you guys all year. We feel good about it. You know, nothing, you know, we don't have to change our game. And now you just kind of let them go. It's like sending your kids to university or college or something. You know what I mean? You're wanting them the best for them, and you send them out there and you just try to guide them along, help them along, and hopefully they're ready to go.
The nature of the beast that is a best of three, it just kind of underlines the importance of starting strong, hey?
It's you know what? What my experience with this has been is just that. I mean, you have to outwork the other team. Your best players have to play better than their best players, and you have to make sure that you're constantly moving forward. You know, just it could be sometimes you're just even, but just as long as you're not going backwards, but keep pushing forward, keep gaining a little piece of momentum, a little piece of ice here and there, and that's all it is. And making sure you're better than the opponent that you're playing against every night, like every shift, so to speak.
Trent, how'd you like the way your group finished off the regular season? A couple of close games in Abbotsford over the weekend. I know neither of them go your way, but just overall, where were you with your group in the final two games before the postseason begins?
Yeah, no, we had some guys get sent back down from the Flames, so that's always a welcome addition, you know what I mean? And so, so I think it's just, I guess one part I'd say maybe is where I'd, you know, if I could have it differently is just trying to creating a little more synchronicity with our guys. It's been tough to maintain lines or tough to maintain the same group because there's just been so many call-ups or guys that have been gone or disappeared or injured or not disappeared, sorry. They go up and guys have done great and that's awesome for them, right? They've got a chance to play with the Flames. And so that's the one thing I wish we had a little more guys more used to playing with each other, but that's just kind of how the beast has been for us this year.
We are chatting with Trent Cull, head coach of the Calgary Wranglers. He joins us Mondays and getting us set for this best of three series that starts Wednesday. It's the Wranglers and Tucson Roadrunners in round one of the Calder Cup playoffs. Trent, you mentioned you've got a lot of bodies. You've got a lot of different things that you're balancing when it comes to your lineup. And we've talked about this in the past, but now that you head into the postseason, you've got the most. Hunter Brustevich has just joined the group. You've got a lot of bodies. What goes into balancing all of these players that you've got and making sure that you're icing the best lineup for game one?
Well, that's not just a Trent Cull decision, right? That's a Calgary Flames and what can we do and how can we best suit guys to help in your lineup. And some of the young guys aren't even traveling with us. You know what I mean? It's one of those situations that it's probably not fair to be throwing a young guy into a playoff game in the American Hockey League when they've haven't even played a season game, you know, or played one or two, you know what I mean? That's a lot to ask of a lot of guys, right? And a lot of pressure to put on them. So, which I totally agree with. And I think that's going to be, it's talks that I have with my boss, Brad, all the time about, you know, what do we think is our best decision? You know, is it, you know, things like us for is it 12 forwards or is it 11 forwards and 7 defensemen, et cetera. So there's a lot, I think, that's going into it and who are the right pieces for that group. And I think we'll hopefully we have a good start, as you said, because these can happen quick. That's for sure. These best of threes. And we got to make sure we have our best forward for sure.
You've got a pretty good idea. Like, are you pretty set on what Wednesday's lineup looks like, or are there still some things that you're debating and evaluating here?
Just health-wise is the only thing that might, change that. We're just making sure we got a couple of guys just nicked up. We want to make sure that we're good to go. But I think we have a fairly good idea. You know, we've been talking about it for the last 2 weeks. You know what I mean? So it comes right down to the last game of how guys are they're playing with each other, how they look out there, how do we look in a back-to-back, you know, how are we in the third period? So there's a lot that's gone into it and everybody's had a chance to weigh in on it, which I think is great too.
I do have to ask you before getting into, you know, some of the guys who are really going to be important for your group in this series and in this postseason. You did get Sam Honzek in for a couple of games against Abbotsford, his first two professional games. What did the most recent first-round pick of the Flames look like? How would you evaluate a couple of pro games for Sam?
I thought his first game was good. Like, he had some jump, he had a little bump in his step there, and I thought it was really good for him, you know. And probably I'd say maybe the second game it got a little I guess you'd say quicker or heavier and it's tough to keep that level, you know. He probably comes in. I really like the way he looked. He was skating. He's a big kid. He moves well. He makes some good decisions with the puck. And so, I mean, I thought it was a great intro for him to get in and play some American League games. And, you know, you talk to all these guys too, like, it's a big jump, right? You've been playing junior hockey all year and all of a sudden you're in here with men and you're not in here at the start of the year. You're in at the end of the year, right? It's the same thing if you're adding our guys in, and they're jumping into playoff hockey in the National Hockey League. As we all see, we've watched for the last 48 hours. It's pretty impressive hockey, that's for sure.
When you get a pair of players like Dustin Wolf and Matt Coronato back, who, you know, prior to being up for the last month and a bit in the NHL, were such huge contributors, just what does that do for a group, mindset-wise, on the ice, just everything, getting a couple of guys like that back?
I think it's just exciting, you know. I mean, just it was nice to kind of see these guys pull into the rink on Friday night, you know, and then these guys get a chance to play, and some of our guys get a chance to play with them on Saturday. And I think it's just a shot in the arm, you know, and everybody's excited. I guess the unfortunate thing is, you know, the same thing's happening down to where we're going to, you know. They get Doan back, they get Gunther back. You know, you guys just saw these guys a week ago snapping goals by the Flames, you know what I mean? So it's amazing how, even though, you know, we're excited, well, there's other teams are getting the same bumps too, I guess you'd say. So it probably all evens out in the end. And like we said, our start and how our good players play, like it's such an awesome time. I've been there as a player, as a coach, like it's such a great feeling when you play well and are a little bit nicked up or excited by how you help your team win. Like there's no better feeling in the world, that's for sure.
Trent, where is Jacob Pelche right now in terms of his impact level on your group, and just how crucial is he going to be in the postseason, having been there before, having been an impact AHLer before? I'm just curious as to your overall feel on Jacob heading into the playoffs.
Well, I know you're right. Like, we've got some guys with past experience in the playoffs, which is great, and we're going to need that. You know, we're going to need those guys to lead the way. So I think for Jacob right now, too, I think that we've been a team that struggled to create offense, but most times out of not, like, he's been a guy who's been part of our offense when we are clicking, and we need him to be that guy. We need Matt Coronato, to those guys to lead our offense, right? And that's going to be we're going to need to find a way for those guys to contribute, whether power play, 5-on-5, whatever it is, because that's probably been something, I guess you could say, if we have something maybe that it's hasn't been our strength lately, is trying to find and create offense, right? And so now getting these guys back, maybe have a chance to play together, that they can find some chemistry together, which would be outstanding for us.
You liking where Pelche's game is for your group right now?
Yeah. I mean, he's been part of it. If you look at our analytics, he's a guy who's leading our analytics offensively. He, you know, plays penalty kill. He's been solid 5-on-5. He's been a plus player over a long, I think I did a segment there the other day of the last 15 to 17 games. And he's been one of our plus players in a time where we haven't had a lot of offense. So he's been providing what we need him to provide. And now I guess selfishly, I just need him to provide more of it.
yeah, absolutely. Well, last thought for you, Trent, and as you get ready to take on Tucson on Wednesday and you get ready to make the flight down to Arizona, just how would you gauge your group's mood? How would you gauge your group's overall readiness? Like, do you get the type of buzz and feel that you want from a group going into the postseason?
Yeah, no, I mean, we're the underdogs. We know that. I mean, we finished seventh. This is a team that finished second. Like I said to you before, like eight more wins and 13 more points. So, I mean, we know where we're at, and we have to be at our best. And we know that we it's kind of nice because we found out quite a while ago, it seems like, in the league, you know, there's still teams up until the weekend, whether they're making playoffs or not. Well, we've known for a month now, you know? And so, it's nice now to get there. And it's also really nice, like you referred to get some of those guys back. Like, Matt Coronato played half the season for us, but it's nice that he's back. You know what I mean? To get a chance to see him, you know, even having Klapka and Solo gone the last week. And Wolfie too. Here's a guy, you know, maybe the start of the year you thought might be around longer, but he's gone for half the year. But that's, you know, good for him. So it's all good things. But those guys are real. They've always stayed in touch with our group. You know what I mean? They've always, you know, hey, good game tonight. Like, those guys have always quietly maintain that connection, and I think that's awesome, and I think that's why the group is excited to play. Best time of the year for sure, and I think they're excited to play with each other. So and hopefully we can get off to a great start. I'm looking forward to it.
Trent, travel safe to Arizona, and we wish you all the best of luck in this series over the next few days against the Roadrunners. We sure as heck hope that you're back playing some games at the Scotiabank Saddledome very, very soon. But good luck in this series against Tucson. Thanks so much as always, hey?
Thank you very much. Appreciate the time. You take care of yourself, and hope to be talking with you more soon.
Absolutely. That is head coach Trent Cull of the Calgary Wranglers. They start round one Wednesday against the Tucson Roadrunners. Wednesday, Friday, if necessary, Sunday. All three games in Tucson in this best of three series. We'll have all three for you right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan with the voice of the Wranglers, Sander Prasina, on the call. And look who just happens to join us in studio right now. It's Sander Prasina with us right now to continue our playoff preview for the Wranglers. Hello, SP. How
Hi.
Are you?
It's good I'm to doing see very you. Well, thank you for having me.
Welcome to our studio.
Yeah, it's clean, but there's a lot of people here.
I know. I don't know why there's so many people in here right now.
No, it's nice.
Sandra flies out Tuesday, and then game one in Tucson on Wednesday. How are we feeling about this series? It's the first time in a few years the Wranglers slash Heat have been a part of the best of three round one because they've had to buy the last couple of years. How are we feeling about this Wranglers team as they enter the 2024 postseason?
Well, the season series between the two teams, 2-2, so bit of a coin flip because two of the games were played very early in the season, and then two of them played last month in Tucson where Calgary got the split, Cole Schwint scoring an overtime winner in that one. So I'm optimistic. It was interesting looking at the two rosters today because Arizona, or am I calling them Utah? Arizona?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean,
Arizona still, until there's a new team. Okay.
Even,
for
on,
me.
Even on Wikipedia, there's still the affiliate of the Arizona Coyotes.
Yes. So sent down a
and
bunch
they're
of
owned
ringers.
By Marawella. Marawella the, yes. is the yeah. owner of the Roadrunners, and he still owns them. Very weird.
Anyways, so a shrug emoji on that, but getting a lot of reinforcements back. And I had to look back at this game. Sunday, April 14th at the Saddle Dome, Calgary and Arizona, 6-5 the score in the NHL. And look who scored in this game twice. Dylan Gunther back with the Roadrunners. Josh Doan back with the Roadrunners. However, Matt Coronato finding the back of the net. Dustin Wolf in goal, picking up the victory. So I'm intrigued because both teams getting some big names back from the big clubs. And I think those should be difference makers because if someone said, hey, who are you looking at? I'm looking at Matt Coronato. I'm looking at Adam Klapka. And I'm looking at Dustin Wolf to be difference makers in this series.
Both Coronato and Wolf played in the Wranglers regular season finale on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So, and I like, it feels like that is especially important for Wolf just to go. He's been in the NHL since mid-March. So more than a month in the NHL, lots of NHL starts. And now instead of going from one league up, you're going one league down. And you know, a lot of goalies and Dustin's even talked about the difference.
Right.
Getting that one game in against Abbotsford on Saturday, that might end up being big for him just to acclimate back to maybe the more scrambly nature that is the American League game.
I definitely agree there. And the game, the result, I don't think should be taken too much in terms of where the Wranglers sit right now. There was a lot of experimentation with that particular roster. You have some players getting their legs again. You have other players who likely will not suit up in the postseason. So for Dustin, I think that was the key, just getting him some action. Then you got to deal with his travel down to Tucson, and then you have to wait until Wednesday until you play again. So that start for him was absolutely crucial.
Just wondering how many defensemen he might be unfamiliar with on the roster at this point. A little bit of a reintroduction for Dustin Wolf as well.
How many did like a four? Do they have 400 D-men?
Yeah, what's the official tally at right now?
It's funny. I compared my roster sheets from last season to this season. And last season, I barely had to update because of so few call-ups with the big club. And then now with the ATOs, PTOs, players coming from the ECHL, it's just been a rotation. But now Brady Lyle is healthy, and I think that's crucial for definitely the top four. And that allows getting back to basics and figuring out who your six are. And I think there will be six there that Wolf is familiar with. Maybe Grushnikov, not as much because his call-up came in and around that time the trade was made. But otherwise, he'll be familiar with most of his blue liners.
Okay, so Sandra Prasina is with us. She's on the call for every Wranglers playoff game on AHL TV and every Wranglers game live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. By the way, all three games of this series are played in Tucson. Game three, if necessary, would be in Tucson, but the Wranglers would be designated the home team, so they'd get last change, so on and so forth. All three games, 8 o'clock faceoffs, and live right here on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Okay. What are the strengths of this Wranglers team? If the Wranglers win this series, and they're the seventh seed, they're the lowest seed in the Pacific, so I guess it would be a quote-unquote upset. Mm-hmm. If they were to pull that off, like what is going to allow the Wranglers to win this series?
Number 32. And that's where it starts and finishes with me. This is going, let's be honest, this is his last hurrah in the American Hockey League. And he finishes his American Hockey League career just shy of 100 wins in that league. And he's been stellar in the playoffs as well. Went on a long run with Stockton before the team moved up to Calgary. Went on a pretty decent run last year too, just stymied by Coachella in four periods of overtime. Essentially, that was the difference maker because that team last year really could have gone far. So I think it starts and it finishes with him. I really like the rookies on the Wranglers. You got Matt Coronato, who's been at a point per game pace when he's been with the Wranglers. William Stromgren has really picked up during the second half of this season, 12 points in 13 games. And another guy I'm looking at, and I don't want to pin this all on the rookies, but Sam Morton has come in with presence and poise. 13 games, 7 points, 5 goals. He's looked good in the top six, in the bottom six, different situations. And what I love about him, and I'm putting my hand up, I knew nothing about him going into this other than the fact that he was in the top 10 for the Hobie Baker. This guy scores goals every way you want him to. He scores on the rush. He scores from the face-off circles, and he scores driving the net. And I think, and I'm going to throw this out there, and we can revisit back in October, but I think he makes a run for potentially a spot with a big club in the fall. He's just got this package of skill that I think the Wranglers desperately needed, and he's given them that skill that may be able to get them over the hump and go back to what you talked about in an upset.
Scored the last two of the more recent two goals of the season for the Wranglers. Sam Morton scored. Okay, so then on the other side, what are going to be the areas that maybe hold the Wranglers back? Whether it's this series against Tucson or going on a deep run, what are the areas that might hurt them?
Specialty teams have been an issue, and that's really indicative of both injuries and call-ups this season because it's never the same got five guys on the power play. And you went more than half the season without Jeremy Poirier, who is the key piece to your first power play unit. Last year in the playoffs, he had 8 points in 9 games, most of them coming on the man advantage, and that's his bread and butter. So if Calgary can figure things out on the power play and the PK, I think they'll have their head above water in the specialty teams categories, but that has been a big struggle because last year the PK was top 5 essentially all year, and the power play got into the top 15 as the season rolled on. But figuring things out up a man or down a man.
Best of 3 is it's scary, but like if you're the top seed, all it takes is Dustin Wolf to put a gem together in game 1 and you are behind the 8 ball. And you know, it sure, just listen to Trent Cole and as he joined us right before you joined us, they kind of get the feeling, hey, we know that we're the underdogs. They feel pretty loose right now. It's not a bad spot to be in, especially in a best of 3 situation.
Sure.
Right?
And then lean on some of your veteran guys. Clark Bishop has won a Calder Cup before. Brett Sutter, forget about his AHL regular season game totals, but he's played over 60 in the postseason over his lengthy AHL career. So lean on those guys. They've got the experiences of going on some deep runs and surprise some people. That's basically the best thing going into this.
Yep.
At the end of the day, if you lose the first game, you're on the brink of elimination, but you win the next one, and then you're putting the other team on the brink of elimination as well. So it could be a coin flip, essentially.
Well, and to your point, there's a lot of players from the team last year that went toe-to-toe with Coachella Valley and was one of the best teams in the American League. A lot of players that are on this team this year, too. Yeah. So, we'll fly safe to Arizona.
Thank you.
Hey?
We'll be in touch.
Yes, absolutely. Sanders' first game is Wednesday. Wranglers, Roadrunners, game 1 from Tucson. Travel safe.
Thank you.
And we'll hear you on Wednesday night.
Thank you for having me, guys.
Sandra Priscina is the voice of the Wranglers on Twitter at @spriscina. She's got all your games from game 1 until whenever the Wranglers postseason run comes to an end. You'll hear them all live right here on Sportsnet 960. The Fans, thanks, the fan. Thanks to Sandra. Thanks to Trent Cull, the head coach of the Wranglers. That is the future of the Flames, brought to you by Oncolytics Biotech, fighting cancer by unleashing the power of the immune system. To learn more about how they intend to empower cancer patients, visit OncolyticsBiotech.com. As we start to wrap up this hour of the program, thank you to Mr. Vickers on Twitter at AA Vickers. We'll talk to you on Tuesday.
Absolutely, buddy.
That'll wrap us up this hour. Thanks to Cam and Shan, our producers. And this hour has been the Sports Drive, brought to you by Calgary Lock and Safe. Simplify your life with a security ecosystem. Go to CalgaryLockandSafe.com to request a security audit and get a tailored solution.